So you go there. I'm going to read a little bit ahead when we'll meet in the middle. Verse 26 says, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because he have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." All right, in verse 29, let's continue together. "His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And that is a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful statement. You put it on your coffee mugs. You put it on your stationery. You put it up on the wall. Jesus has overcome the world. And I love that, but we cannot dismiss this exchange between the disciples and Jesus. What they have said to him is, listen, you're not speaking in proverbs anymore. You're speaking plain to us, and you're saying things very literally, and it's in a way that we understand. And because now we understand you, now we believe that you're the Son of God. Now we know you're of God because it makes sense to us. How many times have you found a difficult situation and you're looking at that and it does not make sense to you? Well, I can think of a dozen that have happened in the last 2 or 3 months, can't we? Different things. You look at that, you go, I got no words for that. That doesn't make any sense. What on earth could that happen? I talked to somebody just recently. I say, listen, I don't know what God's going to do in your situation, but I pray that the Lord make it apparent to you, and I pray that he give you peace and grace until it makes sense. Because you know what? We're not always promised sense, are we? What is it that he promises there to give? I will give you peace. Well, not always makes sense. And a lot of times the reason why things don't make sense is because things are never as simple as we want them to be. They're never as simple as we try to make them to be. A lot of our conversation as of late has been about the Oxford shooting and all the horrible things that have happened there. And you know what? I hate the way we respond to these things. We take it to the media and we make it political, and it becomes a political engine, and it becomes an engine for my, or a vehicle for my opinions and for my emotions and for what I want to say. And it gives people the ability, or at least it gives them what they think is the freedom to say and to speak however they want. And what we fail to realize is that we are talking very cavalier about a situation where there's moms and there's dads with presents sitting under a tree that will not open. And we don't say anything as to their comfort. And we don't do anything as to help them. And we don't do anything to lift up their arms. And we don't do anything to help them. And of course, there's nothing you can do to fix the situation. But there's nothing we do to comfort them. There's nothing we do to bring them peace. All we do is what? Political agenda. We sit there, we try to find a simplistic answer to that. And guess what, folks? There's not a simplistic answer. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just sit there, we could all vote together as a country, and one fell swoop, we could get rid of the problem? Now, we can't even say that getting rid of guns would be the solution, because they've taken to driving cars into parades, and they've taken to taking knives into the schools, and they're stabbing people. There's violence everywhere. And we look at this world, and forgive me for my expression, but there are times where I look at things, and I look at them, and I say, this is a dumb planet. I hate this. We sat there and we were getting ready for the fellowship, and we were all excited. And why? Because last year for Christmas, we had COVID. I got COVID for Christmas. Horrible gift. No receipt. Couldn't return it. Wouldn't even give me credit. I'm sitting there in a chair while the kids are opening presents, right? I'm just, horrible. This year, we were going to do it up. It did not take long for it to rear its ugly head, didn't it? Right now, what are the hospitals? There's a man waiting in the hospital right in front of my dad. 30 hours he spent in the emergency room. And then my mom's telling me that there's a man sitting here for 30 hours. And I talked to some of my friends. I've got a friend who works, I believe it's in the emergency room is where Michelle works, right? She works in the emergency room for a hospital. The poor kid just graduated out of college, just got everything all situated. She's got her first job in the field because it's all practice, right, up to a certain point. And then, of course, it's practice all afterwards too. But it's the first job, and boom, she drops out right in the middle of a pandemic. Whew, talk about not signing up for this. And they are overworked, and they are overtaxed, and they are understaffed, and all these things are going on. And I hear her talk about things, and I go, whew, this is a dumb planet. Why? Because what happens, you've got people sitting in the emergency room who absolutely hate the doctors and the nurses in the hospital. I can't believe they did that. And then you've got people sitting there barely able to get a lunch break, barely able to go to the bathroom for the sheer amount of volume of work that they have. And I sit there, I say, we're all angry at each other, but we ought to be angry at the same thing, that this is bad. This is awful. And in our seeking of a simplistic answer, right? That's what the disciples wanted. They wanted a simplistic answer. Please, Lord, don't speak in parables. Don't make it complicated. Talk to me in things I want to hear. And because we're all looking for simplistic answers, what's always the simplistic answer? The problem is somebody else. I'm in the emergency room. The problem is the doctors. The problem is the hospital administration. The problem is them. And of course, the doctors and the nurses, they're sitting there overworked and overtaxed, and they've not slept in days, and they're sitting there looking. The problem is these people who are out there licking doorknobs and not doing what they're supposed to do, and they're not wearing masks. And it'd be why? Because it's much easier for me to take a dagger and put it against your throat and say, you did this. What do we talk about in realms of things like shootings and losses? How did they die? What happened? How did they get a hold of this? How did that happen? Why? Because if I can find someone I can put the end of a knife to and say, you did this, it makes it all better, doesn't it? I've never experienced that in my life. I've done it, right? And I think we all have. Well, you did this, and this is your problem. It never made the problem better. Absolutely never. A child sits there and they're pouring the milk, and the milk jug falls over and it rolls over, and they try to get it and they try to save it, and it falls off the table, and now we've got a bigger mess all over the floor. Never happened in our house. Don't try it. But it falls over and it's all over the floor and it's all over the house, and it's pouring, and the kid's got a little towel, and you go in and the parent goes, you did this. Does it clean up the milk? Does it make the towel bigger? It doesn't do any of the things that it's supposed to do. Right? Why? Because pointing the blame doesn't solve the things. Cleaning the mess up does. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be solving the problems. The disciples, they were supposed to be able to catch what Jesus was saying, whether it was parabolic or whether it was literal. Whether he was saying, I'm the Son of God, and God loves me, and I do what he wants me to do, and I do always what he asks. And instead of just explaining that relationship out, he'd often speak in a parable, and they didn't appreciate that. They didn't always like that. But once it made sense to them, aha, that must be God. Can I make this point? God does not need your point of view to make sense. Why? Because We don't catch everything. We don't. You know what I do when I come across a problem I don't understand? I talk to people who deal with that. I do. I like to. When you're talking about cars, don't you want to talk to a mechanic? Right? You don't talk to a car salesman, do you? No, you talk to a mechanic. I want to know the person who's had this thing apart. That's the person I want to talk to. When I've got a decision that we've got to make as far as what to do with what should be open, what should not be open, what should we be doing, I talk to a medical professional, somebody who's in the profession, somebody that can tell me what they think we should do, right? That's what we go for. But when it comes down to the things of God, God's advice has to match what I think it is. And what God says needs to be done needs to match what I think should be done. Why? Because in our opinion, in our humanistic society, I was born with innate knowledge, and God's got to match what I already think. That's not how it works. Now look at what he says. He goes, now you understand? Now you believe? I've done all these miracles. You've sat shotgun for some of the greatest adventures this world has ever seen. And now that I put it in terms you understand, now you believe? Should you not have believed when I explained it to you? Should you not have believed when I told you the parable? Should you not have believed this entire time? But no, it's when the world around us makes sense to our point of view. It's never going to be that way. It is never going to be so simple that I automatically catch a hold of it. See, we doubt when it doesn't make sense to us. See, but once God puts it within my understanding, right? Well, why did that person get sick? Well, they were a bad guy. Oh, well, that makes sense to me. Well, why did this happen at the school? Well, it's because the parents were bad guys, or the kids, they were bad guys, or because the Democrats, they're bad guys, and because the Republicans, they're bad guys. And all of a sudden, that fixes it, doesn't it? Because growing up, isn't that what we always watched? We watched on the cartoons, right? There was the Roadrunner, and then there was Coyote. And you're either on the Coyote side, or you're on the Roadrunner side. I got to a certain age where I was on Acme's side. They were the only winners in that entire battle. Some of the younger people are looking at me going, what? Right? Yeah, and that was true. Like, I had friends. Yeah, did you see that Wile E. Coyote cartoon? Or did you see the Roadrunner cartoon? You always knew. You always knew who was on what side. Right? And then there was me. Man, could you imagine selling the stuff he's buying? And then I got to a certain age, and I started to think, where'd the coyote get all the money? You start to think too much about it, it ruins the magic. But that was it. There's got to be a good guy. There's got to be a bad guy. But that's not the way it is it? Genesis chapter 3. Go with me, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. I turned too far. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Boom. Why is the earth bad? Because Eve took the fruit. She got the punishment. Eve's the bad guy. She's to blame, right? Amen? Some of you are looking at me going, I don't know, brother. That sounds simple. It also sounds like you're sleeping on the couch tonight. It's not Eve's fault, is it? Eve did bad, right? Don't do the thing. Eve did the thing. But is it Eve's fault? Not alone. Am I right? Not alone. Now look at Adam. Adam took the fruit. God told Adam, Adam, don't eat this fruit. Touch all this stuff. Eat all this fruit, tree of life, anything. You can eat all of this. Apples, bananas, grapes, whatever they had growing in the garden. I firmly believe the agriculture we have today is not the same agriculture they would have had. We've done some stuff to bananas, and we've done some stuff to tomatoes, and we've changed things a bit. We might not recognize what they had, but they had good fruit. Why? Because God looked at it. He said, this is good. Touch all of this. Eat all of this, but not that. And for whatever reason, when Eve came and said, look, Adam, look what I got. He goes, oh, yeah, that does look good. We don't see much of the conversation. We don't see much of the battle. But we see Adam and Eve breaking the one rule that God had. Don't eat it. Now, is that why the earth is today? Adam's fault. All right, fine. It's not Adam's fault. It's not Eve's fault. It's Adam's and Eve's fault. All right, let's go to Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche said, it's God's fault. God's dead. We're fine. No. What happened? Because they did what? What was the warning? It wasn't just don't do this. It wasn't just don't do this. Did you know? I know that we were kind of joking about this. I lit the pilots on the stove. We're kind of joking about this, but I got to do something that most parents don't get to do. All my children's lives, I've been telling them don't push the buttons. I couldn't reach the pilot igniter, the thing that let the gas, and the thing at the same time because God didn't give me the reach. There's a reason why I'm a preacher, not a basketball player. Well, there's a few, but I couldn't reach. So I said, Xander, come here. And you never see yourself doing this as a parent. Xander, you see the big red button? Yes. Push the big red button. And don't just push the big red button, but hold the big red button. Oh. And he pushed the button, and lit up the thing. And I said, all right. And he moved it. I put my finger. He moved his hand. So he got. I counted to 30, and everything went fine. Everything. Who's picking on me? Everything went fine, Brother Mike. Everything went fine. Now, all joking aside, hey, do this, and good things will happen. Normally, when there's a big red button, we learn from every cartoon and every TV show, big red button, don't push the big red button. What is every character, every child's heart, every grown-up's heart when you're told not to push a button? That is all we're thinking about. Adam, don't eat the fruit. Now, if that's the end of the story, he messed up, God brought in the punishment. That wasn't the whole story. The whole story is the moment you eat it, you shall surely die. And we sit there, we see, well, they ate it and they didn't immediately die. That's not the only death that you can have. Death did enter into the realm, didn't it? And from there, not only were we affected by sin, but the earth was affected by sin. And on top of sin entering into our world and entering into our bodies, God cursed the earth to make things a little bit harder. Now you got to grow. I won't just give it to you. Now you got to work at it. And you know, things are going to happen now that have never happened before. And I imagine in my head, forgive me for my overactive imagination, but I imagine a time where Adam's looking in the pool one day. Outside of the garden, they've been kicked out. The sin nature has come in. He's looking in the pool and he goes, my hair's turning color. He goes over to Eve and says, Eve, do I look a little funny to you? And Eve goes, you've always looked a little funny to me, Adam. When you're the only person out there, what's good or ugly, right? And he'd look, some of it's coming out. And she's looking in the pool. She goes, well, let me look at it. She goes, oh, yeah, there's too many ripples in the water for me to see my eyes clearly, right? And they start to notice that their body's different, but that's not the biggest thing that kicked them off, that death had now entered in. They found out that two of their boys got into a fight, and what Dad thought he handled wasn't handled. Cain went out and he killed Abel in his anger. We see a lot of things in that mess, don't we? Because sin entered into the world, now we know we're naked. Because sin entered into the world, now we're fighting on the way to go do the sacrifice. Because sin had entered into the world, it's harder now and harder now for us to find a sacrifice. Why? Because now there are blemishes. Now there are illnesses. Now the animals that used to always just be there are fighting each other and eating each other. And everything has changed because there's more than just death on the line. There is also dying. We have to settle this issue with death. Now that we can die, and now that we know how to sin, not only has life become difficult, but life is becoming faster. What used to be eternity, the world that God created, right, was supposed to stretch on for eternity. Now God wasn't surprised. We didn't derail his plan. He knew what was going to happen. But the world that he set us in, no sickness, no illness, no death. No COVID, no cancer, no strokes, no failures, no nothing. Bodies would be perfect forever. Not even the animals picked on each other. There was no violence. There was no anger. There was no sin, no theft. Right? I think, I don't know if I've joked about this yet. It's really not funny, but we were talking about, well, there was a shooting down, and it was really big news because where we come from, well, a shooting is just something you talk about in the neighborhood. There was a shooting over there. I think, well, it was 4 or 5 houses down from ours right before we came here. Somebody pulled up into the house, shot somebody in the hand, put another bullet or two in the house. And you know what? We talked about it for a little while, but it wasn't all that shocking because of the neighborhood we lived in. That's not the earth God made, is it? Who made that earth? We did. Don't do it. We did it. And not just that, but we learned that we could sin. And in learning that we sin, we put devices to sin. And we've created problems. And not only have we created problems, but now we've created wars. And in creating wars, we've created monstrous tools of death. And we've done all these things. And then we sit there and we look up at God and we say, God, this doesn't make sense to us. And God sits there and he points back to the Garden of Eden. And he says, I warned you about this. This is what I said would happen if you ate the fruit. And then we see what happens next with Jesus. Jesus said, now you understand. Now you get what I'm trying to say. Anybody make the mistake of not putting in their bookmark? John chapter 16. Go back there with me if you've got the mobility in your fingers to do so. John 16 and verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things? Because it makes sense to us, clearly you're smart. And needest not that any man should ask thee, by this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Oh, now you get it. Okay, well, we live in a cursed earth and there's sin and we're doing the things. But you know what? Why doesn't God just poof, fix it? You ever thought about that? Why didn't God just put his hand down here and stop stuff? Do you understand the only way to stop stuff is? Get rid of all the people that could potentially start stuff. Right? Best way to stop a problem is to not start it. How do I make sure it doesn't start? You got to deal with the people that could start stuff. Raise your hand if you're a sinner. Yeah, there it is. We're all sinners. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught a parable about that, about a man who snuck into the field and he planted weeds and tares among the good crops. Now, why can't I just pull out the good crops? Because that doesn't give the bad crops opportunity for redemption, does it? Right? If God wiped them out at Adam and Eve, you and I would never have our redemption. If God wipes us out now, the people born today will never have that chance at redemption. You following me? You can't burn the field down because you'll lose the good with the bad. You'll lose those that will be redeemed with those that won't be redeemed. And even so, you may be sitting here in sin now, and before the Lord takes you home, you may get victory over that sin, and it removes your opportunity to do that. At any given moment, he could remove our free will, he could remove our breath, he could remove all that from us, but that's not really a solution, is it? Then what does he mean? What does he mean by, I have overcome the world? Well, we got to look at it from the grand scheme of things. Listen, your hearts will get weak, and that's eventually what happened to the bulk majority of his disciples. They heard something they didn't like, and they did what's happening to a lot of churches. You said something I didn't like, and even though you were the Son of God, you said something we don't like, so we're leaving. Others sat there and they had business to attend to. Listen, church is important to me. God is important to me. But you don't understand, I've got this other stuff going on. So if I slip out for 6 or 7 months here, if I stop coming to church for a couple of years, what's the big deal? I had a friend tell me this when we were in high school. Well, I'm going to go take a look at some things for a while. I'm going to go live the life that everybody else in our graduating class is going to have. And when I finally come to myself, I'll be able to come back to the Lord having that much more wisdom and that much more ability to serve him because I walked in the world for a while. I am still waiting for him to come back. We don't have guarantees. That young man, he went off. He joined the military. They didn't put him in a cushy place. They put him on the front lines of Afghanistan. He stood on the walls of some of the places that they held. That was his position. And I sat there and I wondered, are you going to have a chance to make it back? Are you really going to be able to make full on that promise of almost and one day and when I settle down? Who knows what victory may come between here and the time where God calls you home. You don't know what you could have victory. We can't put an end to it now. As we sit there, we see so many of them walking away and so many of them leaving the Lord. And we saw also this, that you're going to have tribulations in the world. Now, often when we speak of the world, we speak of culture and society. In this particular sense, we're talking about the world in life. In life, tribulations will come. Sometimes it will be from society. Sometimes it will be from your own body. Sometimes it will be from the, like right what we're dealing with right now, right? Freezing rain. Sometimes there will be tribulations and there'll be trials and there'll be hurricanes and there'll be pandemics and there'll be massive horrible things that happen in people's real lives. And not only will they really happen and not only will they be awful, but we're going to politicize them and we're going to make everybody feel awful about it and we're going to sit there, we're going to put people down about it. But you know what we need? We need clarity. We sit there and say, these things are going to happen. You're going to face tribulations in this world. What you need is clarity, and that clarity is not going to match what you think it is. What does he say? He says, Let's go ahead and take a look at that verse again. Forgive me for trying to do it alone. But behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Number one way that Jesus has overcome the world is that if I am all right with God, I am not alone. There have been many situations you've been in, and there was nobody with you. And there was no one to give you counsel. And there was no one to give you comfort. And there was no one there to speak a soft word into your ear to make you feel better. But you were not alone, because God was there. As the verse says, He goes before you. He walks behind you. He's on either side of you. He encompasses you about. He knows what's going on. He knows where you're headed. He is there with you. You can sit there and you say, well, brother, that's all good and well that Jesus is in the boat. But I tell you what, when that lightning's striking and the mast is falling over and the most skilled of the people around me say, this is a dumb planet and nothing good will ever happen here and this is horrible and there's nothing else we can do until the rapture, it doesn't feel so good. It wasn't that they needed to wake God up. It wasn't they needed to wake Jesus up. They needed to come to Him. They needed to go to Him. He was there. I firmly believe that when Jesus got into the boat, He knew exactly the storm that was going to come. He knew about the wind. He knew the size of the waves. He knew it all, brother. He did. Speaking to your devotion this morning, He knew everything that was going to happen out on that boat. He knew everything that was going to happen out on that sea. He knew exactly what He was going to do. And all He was going to do is, well, at this time they're going to come pounding on my door. I'm going to have a little nap. And wait for them to get good and frothed about this. And when they come to me, I'll join in. Because so often we leave God to rush into the problem, don't we? We leave God to rush into it. We're walking with Him, we're talking with Him, and what we need to do is stop. All right, here's this thing that's presented itself to me. Here's this text message, here's this news report, here's this phone call that I've just got, and it completely changes everything. And not just that, we think recently, here's one bad event, and now we hear from them that there's a second horrible event that's happened. And what do? We launch into it. How does this make sense to my mind? How do I make this make sense? Who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? Am I right in this? Am I wrong in this? How do I look in this? And we've completely forgotten that we've left God in the bottom of the boat. We've left Jesus in the bottom of the boat so I can sit there and handle it myself. If I've seen so much out of Him, why would I not nudge Him first? There have been many prayers in my life where I've sat there and I've seen things happen and I just kind of reach out. Lord, before my mouth gets going, before my brain takes me in places I don't want to go, I need You to know I'm watching You. More importantly, I need to know that I'm watching You. And You tell me what to do, and You tell me what to say, and You tell me what my responsibilities are. Help me not to get caught up in my opinions. Help me not to get caught up in my desire to express myself. Let pride not be my God, but Father, let me speak Your words, not mine. That would be our heart in every circumstance. Now, that doesn't mean we don't talk on things. I've talked about things that have happened. You've talked about things that have happened. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to continue to talk about things that have happened. But we must do so from a godly perspective. How do I help? Isn't this awful? Let's pray about this. Let's talk about this. Again, it's not that we don't talk about things, but what we need to do is we need to approach things properly. Hey, listen, we need to keep in mind that there is a heart, and there is a mind. That takes me to my next point. Not only are we not alone in those situations, but how has Jesus overcome the world? When we look at the world, what was our biggest problem? Our biggest problem in this world is sin, and not just other people's sin, which is hard enough to deal with, but we have our own sin to compass with, our own troubles, our own struggles, our own things where our brain just won't let us grasp a hold of stuff, our own things where while we are trying, we give into sin, we give into pride, we give into doubt, fear, and anxiety. We've got our own frailties to contend with. How does He overcome the world? By saving my soul. He saved my soul. And now, go ahead with me, grab your Bibles again. 2 Corinthians 4:8. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. How long did it take you when you were saved to realize that the things that would have knocked you plumb out before, you're able to bear a little bit better? Have you ever been in those circumstances where things went hard and things went bad, and you got to thinking, you know, back in my old days, before the Lord saved me, I would have drunk myself stupid. I would have sat in the room and I would have cried and it would have broken me and they would have found me the next morning. Many people have come to that conclusion that I would not have survived this had God not saved me. And we come across those circumstances and you know what? It would be easy for me to give into depression. It would be easy for me to give into anxiety, just like many have in the last couple of years with everything that's gone on. But we as children of God, what do we have? We have so much more of the commandments. We have so much more of the understanding. We have so much more of the peace that passeth all understanding. We have things that we can follow and things that we can obey. And I tell you what, when you've got a lamp that guides you through the dark, it makes a lot more sense and it makes the way a lot easier. What he does is he improves our lives and he strengthens us. And even though it doesn't make the problems go away, and even though it doesn't make the pain go away, and even though there's still a certain amount of uncertainty there, we have the trust that God is in that situation. And whether it goes our way or it doesn't go our way, ultimately God is in control of it all and he's got a plan for it. I don't know why certain things happen. And again, it broke my heart to have to talk to a young couple just recently and say, listen, I don't know what God's trying to accomplish. I don't know what good can come out of this. But aren't you glad God knows and he knows things we don't? That just because I can't figure it out don't mean he ain't already got it planned? This is his stuff. This is who he is. So he's got us. He sharpens us. He makes us impervious to certain things. He gives us hope when we shouldn't have it. You know what God's solution in overcoming a lot of what's going on around us is today? It goes back to the story of the disciples, and they've got all these people that need to be fed, all these people who are weak and they're tired and they're wore out. Doesn't that sound like today? They're weak and they're tired and they're wore out, and they've been out in the wilderness for all this time, and they're hungry. And the disciples say, listen, we don't have enough to feed them. We don't have enough to take care of them. We don't have enough to do anything with them. So send them all on their way so they can go buy bread, because all we, well, what do we have? Well, we've got this little bit of bread, we've got some fish. We don't really have a lot. There's not a lot we can do with it. All right, you give them to eat. What? You give them to eat. Well, that doesn't make sense. I don't have enough to give them. No, I'm going to do this. Bundle them up in 50s. I'm going to put it in your hand. You're going to take it to them. And in the end, what do? They took up more than what they had. You give them to eat. Now that he's helped you and he's strengthened you and he's made you stronger against everything going on in this world by saving your soul and empowering you, what do? You go out and you do what you're supposed to do. James chapter 4, what's true religion? True religion is helping the hurting, isn't it? It's charity. It's love. So here I am in this moment and in this opportunity, I see bad things happen and I've got a choice. I could sit there and I can be smug and I can be proud and I can sit there and say, well, that happened because there's a bad guy there and there's a bad guy there and it's an old-fashioned Western and I'm just shooting the bad guys, right? That's a bad guy, that's a bad guy, that's a bad guy. Or I could go over and I could do some good. And let me bring you some food. Why? You know what? We really don't want any visitors. I'm going to put it on your doorstep. You don't even got to look at me. I love that. Oh, no, I don't want you to have to clean your house for me. I don't want you to have to. Let me just take care of it. Let me get out of your way. Hey, do you have a few seconds? Absolutely. You ever have somebody do that? You say yes. Because they may only have a few seconds. Say yes. Now, boundaries. Don't run the gambit with it. You'll give all. But give. No one to give. I sat there. We were at the parade. And we were walking through. And there was all these people. They were selling s'mores. and they were selling stuff, and the boys got blow-up balloons, and they had all sorts of cool stuff, and the Grinch was there. We've never taken the kids to get pictures with Santa Claus, but we got pictures with the Grinch. I don't know what that says about us. That might be why we haven't played any Christmas music yet. But that aside, as we were leaving and I'm walking through, there was a man with a blue bucket. And people were putting money in the bucket. I was reading today that they put almost $1,300 in that bucket. Just for people coming to a parade and looking at a light show. You know what that bucket was for? That was for the victims of the shooting. That person didn't tell me about the shooting. That person didn't talk about what was going on. He didn't talk about the parents. He didn't talk about the shooter. He didn't talk about anything other than getting help to the victims. Now listen, I'm going to talk about the shooter. Forgive me. I'm going to. And if you talked about the shooter, this sermon is not about you. The sermon is about suffering and our responsibility to it, okay? Don't ever... Well, I said this, and he must have heard that. I wonder... No, that's not what we're talking. That's not it. I promise, if you get something off color, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder, we'll talk. This is about something else. How can I help? You know, God has given me understanding, and God has given me resources, and God has given me patience, and He's given me time, and He's given me the ability to be in the middle of a hot situation, and I'm just a little bit cooler than I would normally be. What can I do? Let me pray with you. I'm going to just pray for you. Let me pray with you. Listen, what can we do? Do we need some paint? Do we need some spackle? Do we need to come over there with some food? Do we need to stop? Do we need to come by? What can I best do for you? We do that for each other as church members. We do that to the lost. We be that representation. Why? Because as he says there, and forgive me as I toggle back over to, see, I don't say turn, I say toggle because I'm part millennial. Some of you are like, what does toggle mean? Anyway, chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world by dying on the cross, that others may have salvation and hope and all the strength that they need for these things and all the guidance that they need for these things. I've given it to you. You're there to demonstrate that to them. When we're called the salt of the earth, what is it that we're supposed to put out there? The gospel. And in many ways, we talk about charity. We talk about love. We talk about compassion. We talked about that this morning. But what happens is they see that in you, and as they see what God gave you, and they see that strength, and they see you exercise that strength, you know what's going to happen every now and then? Same thing that happened to the boys. They're carrying their balloon animals through the little parade. They're carrying it back up to the house. Somebody came by. Where'd you get those? Over there. Oh, okay, thank you. They're going to see you exercise patience when you shouldn't have patience. They're going to see you exercise strength where you shouldn't have strength. They're going to look at you and they're going to see all that God has done in your life, right? All the things God saved you from, all the peace He brought into your life. They're going to see that peace in your life and they're going to come up to you every now and then. They're going to go, where'd you get that? Because I don't have any of it. Can I borrow a cup of it? I can't give you cups of peace, but I can introduce you to the Prince of Peace. And you know what? I can't explain your situation, but I know a man who can walk you through it. I know Jesus Christ, who when I was struggling and I was sore and I was tired and I was frustrated, sent one of his disciples to give me eat. And when I struggled and I had a hard time and I didn't know what to do, he sent his people to come by and tell me exactly what I needed to do. And all through my life, up to today, I've always had people that stepped in and offered to help and cared and love. And they were his people. So therefore, what do? Well, I act like the woman from this morning's sermon. Come to the well. Come to this. Come to what I have, because Jesus came, and in overcoming the world, again, it's not creating a utopia. It's not removing everything, because again, we would have to burn the whole field to do that, and that day is coming, but it's not time yet. And we need to be glad that we have not lost our time in that. I long for the rapture. I long for the end of days, but I enjoy every second I have here on earth, don't you? Every chance I get is another day of grace. It's another day of peace. It's another day of joy. It's another day, yes, of struggle. But it's one more day to fight it out. One more day to see the Lord work. we put the effort in, we put that out there, and people are going to look at us and they're going to say, how? In saving our souls, we have the opportunity to do what? To make the world better. To point them to Christ. And in pointing them to Christ and to standing by his statutes, and yes, that is a part of it and it will always be a part of it. That sin, well, that doesn't sound very nice. It's what it is. Right? You can't kick the wall and complain about a busted toe. You can't sin and complain that the sins cause problems. You can't sit there and hear me preach all your life that this is sin, and then when you stand before God, you feel like you've been left out. No, you knew what that was. We need to be the lights. Part of him overcoming the world is you going out there and giving them to eat and being peaceful and pointing to Christ. And yes, standing against sin. And yes, preaching the word, both the God, both the salvation message and every message. This is wrong. Why this is wrong. What we need to do and how do we make things right. And never forgetting compassion goes with everything we do. Compassion must be there. Many of you I know are going through a hard time this year. And you know what? Wouldn't it be fun? And I think I've said this before. Wouldn't it be fun if I could just give you five verses? And if you repeated those five verses, the pain went away? That'd be so nice, wouldn't it? You know, I've got this problem. I've been fighting with this problem for the longest time. If I could just give five verses to somebody who's sick, and they read those five verses, and boom, the cancer, boom, the disease, boom, the illness went away. Sister Nancy, wouldn't that have been nice? You've got COVID. What's the solution? Read this chapter twice, and all the bad will go. That'd be wonderful. We don't live in that world. We don't always. Sometimes we think that it's always what? Either he calms the storm or he calms us in the storm. I have also found that through the story of Paul, what happened with Paul? Listen, we just got to hang on to the boat. As long as we don't leave the boat, we're going to be okay. Sometimes that's the ride we're in. There's that third option we always leave out. That sometimes you're going to get beat near to death just to show how strong God is in your life. You're going to get beat to death so you can go to an island. Why? Because I've got work for you there. Yeah, but I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be beat up. And what kind of life is that? It's a life where you were going to get tired and beat up anyway. It is. I got up this morning and I was tired. Anybody get up this morning and you were tired? Right? I could point to a specific reason. Well, I'm tired because I was driving half the night. You're tired because your pillow was lumpy. Guess what? We're both tired. We're going to get this done. Whether this or that, we were both tired this morning. Except for Brother Art, who woke up with the sun, and he feels strong. Till about 8 o'clock at night, right? No, all joking aside, you're going to get beat to death anyway. This is a rough earth. I would much rather get tired and beat and hurt doing what God commanded me than to just let it happen without a battle. Let me fight on God's side. Let me do what I'm supposed to. And in doing so, we get the comfort. In doing so, we get to be a part of Jesus Christ overcoming the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,